Hello, and welcome to this AAT podcast on project management. Did you know recent government research shows that 7 out of 8 IT projects are considered failures? That's close to 90%. Therefore, it's very easy to get projects wrong. I assume you're listening to this podcast because you want to get your projects right. So let's make a start so that you can make your projects a success. Hello, my name is Melanie Cassar. I'm a member of the AAT and have been in the accounting profession for more than 20 years. During my career, I've had much experience working on projects and managing projects. These days, I run my own training consultancy business, providing training in various management skills. And I also teach some accounting exam courses, including AAT. This podcast is aimed at people who are new to project management or who haven't managed any projects for a while. This is what I'm going to cover. First of all, definition of a project. I want to make sure you know what is meant by a project so you can assess how much of your work meets this definition. Identification of stakeholders. It's always worth starting out by identifying all of the parties involved in the project and what their roles are in relation to this. Definition of project management. Here, I'm going to clarify what's meant by project management. Next, I'm going to be looking at the role of a project manager and the different directions you'll need to be looking in throughout that role. Then I'm going to move on to the 4 stages of a project. Here I will set out the process to be followed for successful project management. Finally, I'm going to look at the barriers to success, the reasons why so many projects are considered failures, and then think about how you can overcome these barriers based on what we've already covered. Okay, so let's get started. So what do we mean by a project? A project is defined as a temporary endeavour undertaken to create a unique product or service. The key words are temporary and unique. For example, carrying out the regular bookkeeping of a business is not a project, as it is neither temporary nor unique. However, putting together an application for finance to expand the business is a project. It's a temporary endeavour because once the finance is secured, there's no need to continue work on this. It's also a unique product, as it is unlikely you'll be asked to do the same specific exercise again. What about an audit? Some people initially think of these as projects. However, on closer examination, they don't meet the definition. Whilst an audit is a temporary endeavour, it has a start and an end, the product itself, an audit report, and the process to produce it is not unique. Now we are all clear what a project is, let's consider the stakeholders. It's important to identify stakeholders in a project so you can manage them. A stakeholder is anyone with a stake in the project and may include the client, senior management or partner, general employees, your project team, the project manager, i.e. you, external advisors and others. This is not an exhaustive list, but just gives a general idea of the sorts of parties who will be stakeholders. Now we've identified the stakeholders, we need to understand their interest in the project and plan how to manage the relationship with them. This will be different for all projects and their interests, and how to manage them will depend on the individual personalities involved. Never make assumptions. Here are some steps to managing stakeholders. First of all, identify them. Who are they? Next, understand their objectives and interests. Note that these may not all be the same. Consider a project to relocate an office. The objectives of the management are to ensure the success of the move. These may not match the objectives of the general employees who may not want to move. Next is to prioritise the stakeholders. Who should we be keeping closest to and in regular contact with? Then plan how to manage the stakeholders. Think about how you're going to keep in contact with these people and how often. Think about how you're going to manage their expectations. Check the project team understand who the stakeholders are and your approach to managing them. Then set up communications procedures. Finally, monitor the stakeholders during the project and debrief with them after. Now we know what a project is, who the stakeholders are, and how we're going to manage them, let's think about project management. This is defined as the application of knowledge, skills, tools and techniques to project activities to meet project requirements. I cannot give you the technical knowledge you need to complete your specific project. After all, this will be different for every project. This podcast also assumes you have the general management skills needed to manage the project. For example, team building, leadership, delegation, time management, etc. However, this podcast does cover the tools and techniques relevant for internal or external projects. So what is the role of a project manager? As project manager, you will need to have your eyes looking in all directions. Well, six to be precise. Wendy Briner, Colin Hastings and Michael Geddes wrote the first book on project management, which looked at leadership as opposed to technical issues as being key to successful projects. They said that project managers need to look in six directions. What are these? First of all, upwards. This is about managing your boss. You must clarify your role with your boss and also what his expectations are of you. Secondly, you should look outward. This is to clients and other third parties and end users. This might be senior management or a director for an internal project. What are their interests and needs? Who else is affected by the outcome of the project and what are their needs? For example, the general staff. The third direction is to look downwards. This is about managing your team members. As project manager, you need to manage them individually and as a team, making clear their roles, goals, expectations and responsibilities. You should ensure you involve all of the team at all stages of the project. Fourth is looking inward. This is about you and your impact on the success of the project. Take time to reflect on what went well and what you could have done differently at different stages throughout the project. The fifth direction a project manager needs to look is backwards. This is to learn from past successes or failures. This is about repeating the things that went well last time and doing things that didn't go so well differently this time. Finally, you should look forward and set objectives and plan on an ongoing basis, anticipating problems and risks and planning how to manage or deal with them. As project manager, you need to manage all six of these. The traditional view is that project managers are there to focus on managing time and costs, but as we now know, there's a lot more to it than that. From an external perspective, your role is to balance time, cost and quality, and that's absolutely right, using the six lookings. But what if time is reduced? Let's say the project deadline is brought forward 1 week. What's going to happen to cost? What's going to happen to quality? Something else must give, and that will either be cost, which may increase as more resources are brought in to complete the project on time, or quality, which may decrease if more resources are not available. It's important as project manager to know exactly what your role is and what's expected of you. Therefore, we're now going to look at an approach which will give you the tools and techniques to deal with these expectations and pressures. To manage a project effectively, you need a systematic approach. Therefore, each project will have four stages. Stage one is definition. Stage two is planning. Stage three is implementation. And stage four is closure. If you were to attend a project management course, you would spend a lot of time looking at these stages. However, on this podcast, I'll give you a brief overview of each stage. First of all, definition. This is where you confirm the objectives and end deliverables and confirm the approach and any constraints. At this stage, you will also identify any risks to the project. Confirming the end deliverables is key as this will drive the project activities. Stage two is planning. This is where you plan what needs to be done and when in order to deliver to the defined project. You should include all of your team in this process as even the most junior member of staff may have something valuable to contribute, but it will also enable them to see the process that goes on to get to the final plan and for them to understand the project in more detail. The planning process involves brainstorming the project activities and allocating them to a work stream. A work stream represents one of the end deliverables. These need to be organised along a timeline so that you know what activities to complete and when. Then you should identify any critical events. These are events that, if not completed on time, will throw the whole project off timescale. They're the showstoppers. Critical events may also kickstart other activities. For example, receipt of planning permission will kickstart any building work. Once you've identified the critical events, you'll need to think about repositioning the other activities along the timeline to fit in with these. Finally, you should think about effort and duration. Effort means man hours, and duration means time taken to complete a task. For example, to secure finance may take 3 months' duration, but just 2 weeks of man hours in effort. During planning, we need to consider both, because duration will drive the timeline and effort will drive the budget. You should consider this for all activities and then use this information to make a start on your budget. Once your initial budget is drawn up, check, does it contain contingencies? Is it pessimistic enough? Generally, things always take longer than we expect, so it's always best to add some contingency time to your budget. This completes the planning stage, although we will come back to it again later. Additionally, this should be reviewed and updated throughout the project as things move on and change. You need to capture the plan on paper or IT. For one-off project work, you can do this using Excel or a similar spreadsheet package. If you're going to work on a lot of projects, it might be worth looking at various project planning software, such as Microsoft Project. The third stage is implementation. During this stage, as project manager, you will monitor and control the ongoing activities and stakeholders. As project manager, you must review the progress of the project at regular intervals, for example, daily or weekly. This should include how well the team are working together. This is likely to lead you to come across a number of issues. As project manager, you need to deal with any issues which arise. An issue could turn out to be a new risk. Risks were first identified at the definition stage. To clarify, a risk is any potential event which may adversely affect the successful achievement of the project's objectives. So here is the approach. First, identify the risk and log it. Next, evaluate the risk. How likely is it to happen? And what would the impact be? Then, identify any critical points affected. Finally, take action to contain and monitor the risks. For example, if there is a risk that key staff will not join the relocation, assess how likely this is and what impact would it have. This could affect the deadline, so action is needed now to talk to the relevant staff, perhaps offer them incentives to relocate, and if necessary, start recruiting for replacement staff and training them now. What if the issue is not a new risk, but is a change request? For example, a change in the timetable frequently occurs in business, even on smaller projects. The most common change is scope creep. This is where the change request is a change to the project definition as agreed and budgeted for, but is seemingly minor, so we just agree to do it. This leads to a breach in time, cost, and/or quality, and exposes us to the most risk, because we're doing something we're not contracted to do. We must not accept the change without first understanding it, why it's been requested, and exploring alternatives. If accepted, the changes must be contracted and paid for. Therefore, when we encounter issues, they may just be that, or they may be new risks or change requests. As project manager, you need to capture, log, and deal with these to ensure the success of the project. Monitoring and control activities is not just about issues, but as project manager, you also need to monitor the stakeholders, time, costs, quality, progress, and team performance. Remember the six lookings. So how can we monitor these? Well, we could hold regular meetings, send emails, make phone calls with the team, boss or client. It's key for the project manager to review progress at regular intervals, including the cost to date versus the plan. Implementation should be a no surprises environment, so big issues should not arise for the first time at the weekly catch-up meeting. As you can see from all of this, project management takes time. Therefore, you need to think about your role as project manager at the planning stage. Once all of the monitoring and control activities are planned, they become a separate workstream for the project, so should be added to the plan. Consider the impact of your time carrying out these monitoring and control activities on the budget. Then prepare a revised budget to reflect the impact of the project management workstream. I suspect the impact of this will be quite significant for a lot of projects. This is a valid workstream and is absolutely essential to the success of the project and is therefore a real cost, so must be included in your budget at planning. Project management takes time and costs money. If you show this in your plan, then you're more likely to get paid for it. This brings us to the end of the implementation stage. The last stage is closure. At this stage, you hand over or bring the project to a close. Evaluate performance, debrief, and capture any learning. Remember, a project is temporary, so it must come to an end. Ensure the client agrees the project is complete and check if they need any ongoing support or handholding. This would be the subject of a new contract and an additional cost. If planning is an investment in the current project, so closure is an investment in the ongoing business and client relationship. A good close is likely to lead to future projects. People always remember their last encounter. Have you ever heard the expression, actors are only as good as their last role? And for all the work done in this, your boss, the partner, and client will only remember the close. Remember to include closure activities and meetings at the planning stage. So plan how to hand over and close and ensure there's enough time in the budget for this. This concludes the four stages of a project. Remember, these are definition, planning, implementation, and closure. And you should go through all of these stages for a successful project. Okay, before I wrap up, let's consider the barriers to project success. I started this podcast by saying 7 out of 8 IT projects are considered failures. So with all this knowledge, is there any reason your projects can go wrong? A recent survey by the Office of Government Commerce found the following reasons for project failure. Poor communications with stakeholders. Lack of planning. Lack of leadership and project management skills. Vague or high-level requirements with no clear definition. Poor risk management skills. Lack of integration between project team and client. Scope creep. These can be categorised into 3 types. First of all, items we have direct control over. For example, planning, communications, leadership. Second, items we don't have direct control over, but we can influence. For example, scope creep, budget, resources. Finally, items that we have no control over or influence. For example, politics. Consider these barriers and ask yourself, are they technical issues or people issues? Managing people and relationships is key to project management success. Now you have the tools and techniques for effective project management, you can overcome most barriers by building good relationships, communicating with all stakeholders on a timely basis, and facing the issues head on. We're approaching the end of the podcast, so let's just recap on what we've covered. First of all, definition of a project, Remember, this is temporary and unique. Next, identification of stakeholders. Remember, it's important to know who these people are because as project manager, you'll need to build strong relationships with them and manage them. Definition of project management. Remember, this podcast has given you the tools and techniques for successful project management, but it's not designed to give you the technical knowledge or other management skills. The role of a project manager. This is where I introduce you to the six lookings. So as a project manager, as well as managing time, costs and quality, you'll also need to be looking upwards, outwards, downwards, inwards, forwards and backwards. Then we looked at the four stages of a project. Once again, these are definition, planning, implementation and closure. Finally, we looked at the barriers to success and the main reasons for project failure. And we concluded these weren't actually technical issues, but were people issues. Therefore, good project management skills will lead to success in your projects. This podcast has been the first step to becoming better project managers. The next step is to get out there and apply what you've learned. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.